the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, "All men seek thee." And he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." Jesus was a very busy person. Jesus had a heavy schedule. And it's fascinating to me that although Jesus had a tremendous schedule, I mentioned this morning his agenda in carrying out his work and accomplishing the will of his Father, yet Jesus never seemed to be in a hurry. Jesus never seemed to be rushed. You know, we talked about Zacchaeus running in order that he might see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. I don't ever read about Jesus running. Jesus always traveled apparently at a moderate gait, but he didn't waste time. He didn't sit around needlessly twiddling his thumbs. He always had a purpose. He always had important things to do, and he was in great demand. Sometimes he tried to get away from the crowd, and the crowds would search him out. It was that way in this contextual setting. They brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, up in verse number 32, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And Jesus healed many that were sick of various diseases, cast out many devils. But Jesus, despite the busyness of his schedule, despite the heaviness of his load, despite all of the things he needed to accomplish, he sought refuge in solitude. One of the secrets of the success of Jesus, I am convinced, it was prayer. Prayer. Look at Jesus and his prayer life. We need all the help we can get to pray. Particularly in verse number 35, we learn a lot about prayer from focusing our attention on Jesus and examining the prayer habits of Jesus. Because Jesus' prayer habits provides prayer help for us who are children of God. Consider first of all the person who prayed. Some folks do not think we need to pray. And a lot of folks don't do a lot of praying. And I'm not talking about folks outside, folk in denominations, folk in the world. I'm talking about folk in the church. A lot of us don't pray as much as we should. A lot of us don't pray as frequently as we ought. A lot of us don't pray as long as we should. But in this verse, Jesus Christ is the one who is praying. And my reasoning is like this. If Jesus, the matchless Son of God, needed to pray, how much more should we human, should we fallible, weak, faulty, frail, failing human beings need to pray? Some think that prayer is just for the weak, just for the fearful. But Christ prayed, and he was the strongest. He was the boldest of all. So I figure if Christ prayed, I definitely need to pray. Somebody asked a little boy, said, "Do you pray, son?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "When do you pray?" He said, "I pray every night, just before I get in bed." He said, "Do you ever pray in the daytime, son?" He said, "No, sir. I ain't scared in the daytime." We don't need to wait until we're in trouble to pray. We don't need to wait until we're scared in order to pray. As a matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 admonishes, pray without ceasing. We should always be in a prayerful mind. The Bible lets us know in the book of Luke, if you'll turn there with me, please. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. You know, we don't usually we're not usually in the habit, let's put it that way, of praying very long prayers. And I'm not talking about praying long prayers in worship publicly. I'm talking about praying long prayers in private, when nobody else is around. In Luke 6 and verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. And I want you to notice this. And continued all night in prayer to God. How long has it been since you prayed all night long? How long has it been since you prayed, let's say, a prayer for 3 hours? Maybe a prayer for 2 hours. Well, Brother Jones, that doesn't make any sense to pray that long. Well, you're saying what Jesus did didn't make any sense? He prayed, keeping in communication with his Father, he prayed all night long. Now, let me ask you this question. I'm more likely to get an affirmative answer to this one. How many of you have talked to your earthly father for several hours or for 1 hour? I think some of us have. Maybe most of us have. Perhaps all of us have. But if you can talk to your earthly father for 2 or 3 hours or for 4 or 5 hours, what about to your heavenly father? Well, I couldn't think of anything to say. You might be surprised. Now, I have a confession to make. I remember, and this is right after my surgery, that I went down into the den and I prayed for about 3 hours straight. That's the longest prayer I have ever prayed. I have never prayed like Jesus prayed in Luke 6:12. I've never prayed all night. But it shouldn't be a difficult thing to do that. I've talked to my sweetheart all night. I've talked to her for hour after hour. What about my Father, my heavenly Father. Sometimes we need to just follow the example of Jesus and engage in a long and protracted and meaningful prayer with our Father. Jesus prayed. Consider his passion for prayer. Notice rising up a great while before day. That shows his passion for prayer. Getting up early in the morning. For many folk, just getting up at the normal time requires much effort. My aunt used to hate to get up, my mama's sister, early in the morning. And grandmama would be listening. And she said, "Martha, you up?" "No, ma'am, but I'm getting up in a few minutes." She said, "You better go ahead and get up." So Aunt Martha would take one leg out from under the cover and one foot and kind of pat it on the floor, trying to fool Granny, trying to fool her mama into believing that she was actually up. Then she would retract that foot and put it back under the cover, and she would lie back down. But sometimes folks just hate to get up. They hate to get up, especially getting up extra early. But Jesus got up a great while before day. If you're going to have much success in prayer, you will have to put some major effort into praying. We're pretty much a lot of times kind of lackadaisical, very passive rather than passionate about praying. Like anything else, little effort will produce little results. But big efforts will produce big results. Not only do we see the passion for prayer by considering that he got up a great while before day, but we also see the priority of prayer in him getting up a great while before day. Christ wanted to pray early in the morning. Of course, this does not mean you can't pray in the middle of the day or at the close of day. Rather, what is taught here is giving prayer a place of priority in your life. We need to start our days, our projects, our trips, our work, our relationships, especially our marriages, with prayer. We need to give prayer precedence and preeminence and priority. If we started more things with prayer, we would not finish so many things with problems. And then finally, the place of prayer. How many of you have identified and set aside a place where you pray? You might pray in your office. You might pray in your car. You might pray in the bathroom. That might be your closet. You might pray in the kitchen. You might pray in the den. But Jesus sought a solitary place where he could be alone and pray. Of course, we can pray any place, but it is so helpful to be in a private place when you pray. Private prayer does not negate or diminish the importance of public prayer, but it enhances the effectiveness of our praying. in the privacy of your prayer place. You can pray without the distractions of a more public place. Everybody needs a private place where he or she can go and engage in daily prayer. Good friend of mine, Tom Holland. Tom, for many years, was the director of the Nashville School of Preaching and Biblical Studies. He taught speech and Bible at Fried Hartman University, as well as at David Lipscomb University. Tom is about 85 now. Well, if he's not 85, he's at least 84. His health is beginning to fail, but Tom is one of the most dedicated, most talented gospel preachers I know anywhere on the planet. But Tom has written at least 84 books. I am flabbergasted to know that he is that disciplined, that he's been able to accomplish the writing and publishing of multitudinous volumes, all kinds of books, great books. So I asked him one day, I said, Tom, you have written all of these books. How is it? What do you do in order to write this many books? A lot of folk never write even one book, but you've written at least 84. He said, well, I have a schedule. He said, I get up every morning at about 5, and I write for 3 or 4 or 5 hours. I do that habitually. I do it religiously. And that's how I've been able to write all of these books. And I've been able to carry on all of the rest of my responsibilities. Preaching for a local church for a number of years. Teaching college. Directing the school of preaching. Preaching at lectureships. Conducting workshops. Preaching all over the country. Serving as president of a Christian school in Guyana, South America. He's been able to do all of those things because he's disciplined and because he follows a schedule and he imitates the prayer habit of Jesus and incorporates his particular methodology into his writing schedule. Let us learn from Tom, but even more so, let us learn from Jesus. Let's pray more often. Let's pray according to schedule. Let's pray early. Let's pray late. Let's pray in the middle of the day. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for the spreading of the gospel. Let's pray for the sick. Let's pray for the disadvantaged. Let's pray for those who are the victims of natural disasters. Let's pray for Bible school. Let's pray for our teachers. Let's pray for the elders. Let's pray for the deacons. Let's pray for the preachers. Let's pray for all of the members. Let's pray for our parents. Let's pray for the seniors. Let's pray for the teenagers. And let's pray for the children. All of these need our prayer. Jesus, Luke 18:1 said, he spake a parable unto them to the intent that men ought always to pray and not faint. Let's resolve to improve our prayer lives. We are children of the King. We are children of the sovereign ruler of the universe. Prayer is the key to the inexhaustible supply of blessings in glory. It works because the Lord promises that He will answer our prayers. If you are here this evening and you are in need of prayer, standing in the need of prayer, if you are in need of restoration, if you are in need of encouragement, if you are in need of strength, if you are in need